This FPL season has definitely been go, go, go. A nonstop hustle all the time. Matches, deadlines, unexpected blank and double game weeks, on top of everything the real world has had in store. Sometimes you need a moment to turn off and hit reset. That's when you reach for Coors Light. It's made to chill. For me personally, supporting Fulham during this last year has been a true roller coaster ride. Honestly, when that Adama Traore goal flew past Areola in the 92nd minute of game week 31, the only thing that saved my mental state, the only thing that calmed my nerves, was cracking open a Coors Light. There's only one beer out there that's literally made to chill, and that's Coors Light. The mountains on the bottles and cans even turn blue when your beer is cold. That way, you always know when it's time to chill. When you need to hit reset, just open a Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment made to chill. And listen, everyone, summer is pretty much here. It's about to get hot in New York. An ice-cold Coors Light is such a perfect way for me to beat that summertime heat. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light and the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. And as always, celebrate.
Hey, all cheaters, and welcome to the Always Cheating Fantasy Podcast. My name is Josh. I'm here with Brandon. Brandon, how are you?
Josh, we're practicing our social distancing, even by way of podcasting. For those of you who weren't paying attention or didn't tune in to last week's episode where we revealed that Josh and I are rarely, if ever, in the same room while we podcast.
The shock of many.
Yeah, so you're in your apartment and I'm in my apartment. We're quarantined. This is the first of perhaps many special quarantine Always Cheating podcasts.
Yeah, and actually it kind of works out well. I think we've got a lot of we have a bunch of ideas for future podcasts. Some of them actually that our patrons have been sending in, but we have a backlog of uncompleted Patreon podcast suggestions that I think we actually have do now. So that's going to fill up the next 7 or 8 months or however long this thing goes on for. So yeah. So this podcast is an interesting one, obviously. Their season is over. Let's just get right to it, Brandon. Do you think the Premier League season is over? Do you think that the fantasy aside for a second, is the Premier League season done?
Yeah. My first reaction is I genuinely don't believe that this season is over. I do believe that the Premier League in some way, shape, or form is going to find a way to finish the season. Now, that said, throughout the course of this COVID-19 pandemic, I feel like I have been behind the curve. I have always been kind of catching up to the scale of what's going on.
Yeah, you were telling me before the train ride back from Manchester story that you were telling me a second ago.
Right. So later in this episode, actually, we're going to get into our UK travelogue, go through some of the exciting bits of our recent UK travels. One of those memorable moments was, you know, the trains in and out of London to Manchester last Sunday, the day of the Manchester Derby, were screwed because of something at Euston Station. Shout out to Keith James, who said to me at the Always Cheating meetup, "Oh, you're taking a train on a Sunday? Like, good luck. Train travel is a nightmare in England on the weekend." So you were right, Keith. So anyway, we had to reroute ourselves on the way back from London, from Manchester, through Leeds and then down to London. And we couldn't get seats together. I was farther back in the car than you were. So it was like a good 2 hours where I didn't see you or talk to you. You got up from your seat and walked back just to say hello. And your face was kind of flush. And like, you know, like you'd just seen like a ghost of your old dead grandmother or something like that. And I knew it. I could tell right away that it wasn't just because of the long train ride and rerouting and all that stuff. And then you proceeded to tell me you'd spent the last 2 hours just reading about the coronavirus on your phone and catching up to the global pandemic that was just happening.
Yeah. I mean, it is honestly, you know, there are people who have a reason to feel bad about what's happening right now. There are people who have vacations planned, people who have weddings coming up, people who are pregnant. Like, there's just a lot of like people out there who can like really just like justifiably feel bad for themselves right now. If you're old or you have pre-existing condition, there's lots of reasons. But Brandon, you and I, two healthy young men, are like, we got off better than anybody. I mean, it's crazy. We went to the UK. We did two TV shows. We watched three matches. We hosted a meetup with 100 people. And we did it all. And then we got like the last normal plane out of London before all hell broke loose.
Yeah.
And we got so lucky. I mean, it really is like, so this podcast, you know, obviously we're not going to be talking about fantasy much at all. But we are going to talk about this great trip. And so I just want to note right away, I am so aware of how lucky we are. You and I in particular, you know, like that we really dodged a bullet. We were considering a number of different dates, including many later on in the season. And, you know, I think that so it was really, you know, and so I just say that because I don't really know why I say that. I guess I just feel like I'm trying to keep things in perspective. I think we're all trying to keep things in perspective right now, especially if you're young and you're not at a particular high risk, or you don't have family members nearby who you're, you know, worried about infecting. You're sort of, you know, you've got to like keep things in perspective a little bit. So that's the way I'm thinking about it. It's like, well, you know, my daughter is not going to be going back to school until at least April 20th. You know, that is a thing that causes me great stress, great personal stress. but at least I'm sort of holding on to it. It's like, well, keep things in perspective. You did get to go on this great trip. And so hopefully everyone's got some, obviously it wouldn't be quite exactly the same, but hopefully everyone's got something they can hold on to. Like, all right, well, at least I was able to do X, Y, and Z, you know, before all hell broke loose.
Yeah, you put out a great extra podcast for our Patreon subscribers on Friday talking about what can you do with downtime, with no Premier League, with no FPL. And you suggested maybe you finally master cooking in a way that you never thought you would. Find a couple of recipes that you could work on. Become somebody who is competent in the kitchen. That's actually something that I keyed into. My wife and I went by our local bookstore earlier this weekend and picked up some books. I mean, my low point this weekend was we thought our internet was out. Because what's the one thing you think that you're going to do if you're self-quarantined in your apartment? Well, you're going to use and abuse your
Netflix.
Internet until every last piece of internet is gone. You're going to be streaming TV shows and movies and everything. So
I just started watching McMillions last night. Have you seen this yet?
We've watched the first three or four episodes.
We've seen two so far, and the FBI agent is my hero. I want to live the way this guy lives. You know, he is just riding out this coronavirus thing like with a laugh and a wink.
I love his billowy white starch shirt that he wears in his interview. Fantastic. Yeah. Lots of great streaming content that I guess we're probably going to have to talk about in the coming weeks. So what's our plan as the Always Cheating FPL podcast for the coming week? So what we know for certain right now is that there are game weeks 30 and 31 canceled, not happening.
Yeah.
0 points. So can we clarify this a little bit, though, for people who haven't been totally following along? So the FPL game has effectively said game weeks 30 and 31 are happening, but everyone's getting 0 points.
Yeah. And I have to say, and Brandon, you and I just did two like official fantasy pieces of content while we were in the UK. And so I'm not going to sit here and say bad things about these people. Okay. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to go down that road. But I will say that their approach worries me. It gives me great pause that this is how they have decided to move forward, because it would seem to imply that they can't actually pause this thing. And
they
can't control.
It's like the T-Rex in the Jurassic Park, right? They can't control it. They can only hope to contain it.
Yeah. And so if you can't pause this thing, and we all know that realistically, there is no chance that the season is going to resume in 2 weeks. I mean, for goodness sakes, like, you can't, you know, Callum Hudson-Odoi is still going to have, he's still going to be infectious in a couple of weeks, or the whole team, everyone in Chelsea can't play over the next 2 weeks. I mean, Mikel Arteta has it, you know, and it's only going to keep spreading to more, you know, more people. Surely, I mean, it would be shocking if it didn't. It's already happened in the NBA, right? Where you had two players in the Utah Jazz and then the Detroit Pistons, one of the players in that team, the guy who was defending whatever his name is, the center on the Utah Jazz. He got it himself, right? And so, you know, surely, you know, the Premier League, very physical. I'm sure that we're going to see more of it. And so that means, I think it's minimum a month. But I also agree with you, or actually I disagree with what you were saying earlier, to get back to the question of whether the season's going to resume. I don't think it will. I think it's over. And I think that, unfortunately, you know, and I mean, I think that I don't want it to be over. And honestly, I feel bad for Liverpool. I mean, I saw someone say on Twitter, it was like, well, this is just like another season where Man City was up 15 points. Would you even care? And the answer is probably no, you know. But the Liverpool thing, I think, does give – although, I mean, the I guess the promotion relegation issue is a big one, right? I mean, it was absolutely hilarious the way this West Ham owner said that you've got to just like scrap the season, you know, like, sure, of course. It's funny you would say that, you know, but I think,
David Moyes gets to cash out his contract. I'm sure he's like, I kept you up, pay me.
So if, you know, so as far as the Premier League season, it may or may not come back. Let's say there's a 25% chance it comes back. Let's hope I'm wrong. You know, the fantasy game though, if this game is like a train that can't be stopped, or they just, the game can't even be, why in the world would you have 2 0-point game weeks in a row? Right. Unless there was just no way to pause the game. I don't, you know, I'm not enough of a programmer to understand how this all works, but it's ridiculous. Right. Right. It would be like, it doesn't make any sense. And like, you know, and like the reason, you know, this is because anybody who took a 4-point hit this game week got a -4 for their game week score. Like, how would, in what universe is that fair? You know, like, it's completely ludicrous. You know, and so, so what happens? Like, let's say it takes 7 or 8 weeks, you know, until the Premier League season actually comes back. So what happens then? You have like an octuple game week or something where it's like it's like one final head to head where it's like my 374 points beats your, you know, 337. Like, it's, I just, I think the fantasy game as we know it for this season, I think, is over. And, you know, I think that's a bummer. Just obviously, I mean, we create a weekly fantasy podcast, Brandon. We do 2 podcasts a week on the fantasy game, and I think the game is over. Not ideal. However, you and I also like will easily go like 15 minutes without ever talking about fantasy in this podcast. So we're sort of uniquely positioned to keep this thing going.
I want to say, like, I got a DM from our listener, Roger Kendrick, and he had a great idea. He was wondering if, who out there knew how to just run a FIFA 20 simulation on all of the games in a particular game week? I know if you go into FIFA's career mode or manager mode, you can simulate certain matches that come up in your own fixture schedule. But can you tell FIFA, all right, I've got these 10 fixtures and I want to run a simulation on all of them? And that could be a way for like a little community of us FPL managers to sort of keep our scores going just by way of these e-simulations of the game. Yeah. Another way, though, I thought would be cool would be if we could have FIFA tournaments where we would have the fixtures and have actually people playing each other in FIFA to see what the outcomes of these matches will be. That one would fall apart because invariably, you know, you got one person over here who's really good at FIFA. Yeah.
Galasso. Say,
all right, I've capped. Yeah, Galasso. I've captained Mo Salah. Guess who's getting the ball every time? So that's kind of flawed. But if there was a way for us to simulate the rest of the season, I'd be minorly content with that.
Sure. I'd be fine with that too. I think it's just, we've never been here before. This is all uncharted territory. I mean, we hope it's a one-time thing. Right. And, that brings me to, the next point, which is, let's say the season does end, which I think is very possible. If you are in a, and I think there's no, you know, we can just, we're just speculating right now. Right. I mean, you know, we're not involved in the discussions, and even the people who are don't know what's going to happen, right? But let's say that the season does end. We are 29 weeks into a 38-week season. Quite a long way to go, right? And yeah. When you factor in chips, the point distribution is pretty funky, right? You have people who have played three chips and have played both wild cards, or, you know, or have just, you know, burned a wild card and have three chips remaining, or haven't done any of that stuff. They all three chips and a wild card, you know, still to go. And so it's really hard to evaluate a fantasy season, even without chips. It's just tricky, right? Because you have double game weeks and there's preparation, and some people are more inclined to burn points to sort of set themselves up for the long term. And so, you know, with 9 weeks left to go, let's say the season ends, you run our personal mini league, right? I think we have 23 mm-hmm. managers in there or something like that. Yeah. We all kick in a little bit of money. What is your plan right now for our personal mini league, and how you want to end it and go into next season, assuming that the season does end now?
Yeah. My plan a few days ago was, it didn't feel quite right, but I thought the only justifiable outcome was to just pay out for first, second, and third, as was the plan at the start of the season, to whoever was in those particular positions after game week 29. So if you're in first, second, or third after game week 29, then you get the normal payout that we would have if it were game week 38. And the trickier one was, we also have a head-to-head league with those same 23 people. How would you do the payout for the head-to-head league? Because we have a playoff. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess you just take the first and second place who get, like, there would be a payout in our head-to-head playoff for whoever wins the last playoff match.
Right.
And then the second place team, whoever makes it to the final but loses, they get a small payout. So then I would just do the payout for whoever is currently first and second in the head-to-head table, regardless of the playoff. Mm-hmm. That was what I was thinking until I heard you suggest this idea, which now I'm fully believe this is the better idea.
This is the skins game idea.
The skins game approach. So walk me through your suggestion, which actually I'm definitely vouching for. And I think anyone who does commission their mini league, listen to this idea.
Well, my thinking is this, basically. It's like we're kind of – there's just too much – I mean, I kind of established all this a moment ago. There's just too much time left in the season, I think, to do payouts. And like you said, the head-to-head thing is like impossible, right? Because that's just a – you know, we're not even in an even number of matches played or whatever, you know. So if the season does end, what I think is the best approach is just to take all of that money and just carry it over to next season. Now, that means either everybody just gets to have another season where they don't have to put in money, which would be nice, right? Especially if you are in a position where, you know, the second Great Depression or whatever's about to come hits us, and you're like, hey, maybe I don't want that. Like, maybe I don't want to spend $65 next year or whatever, mm-hmm. you know, whatever the pay in is in your mini league. Maybe I don't want to spend that much money. Maybe I don't want to do something else with my time. So now you get to just be in that league again for free the next season. And it's a tough spot for anybody who's in first. And, you know, it's funny, we were talking about the guy who's first in our mini league is actually a Patreon supporter of ours, Danny Bean. And we're like, well, we're going to do something for him. You know, so maybe you do something, maybe you buy a scarf or a kit or do something for the person that's in first in your league, but otherwise you take that pool and you just carry over to next year. You know, if you want, in a true skins game approach, you would actually just do pay-ins again, and you would just have a double pot for next season. Sort of depends on how much money everyone's putting in already. You know, I mean, if it's a really expensive league, maybe you want to just keep it as it is. If it's $15 or whatever, then sure, everyone just put in extra money, and then you just have this massive pot for next season. It just gives it like a little more juice. And I just think that's the best way to go, because then everyone sort of gets another chance to like, you know, they just get a free season basically. And that just seems more fun to me. It seems a little more fair. It seems like it's going to avoid some of the fights that people might have. Like, let's say you're in second place in a mini league and you're 5 points back and, you know, the person in front of you had already burned three of their chips and you hadn't burned any. Like, I would be pretty sore about that. Right. And so if you just, so if you're the manager and you just say, guys, I'm really sorry. This is unprecedented. This has never happened before. We're going to take this entire pool and everyone just gets a free buy-in for next season. I think that that seems like the fairest. I don't know. It just seems like that's like the cleanest way to do it. Whether it's fair or not, it seems like the cleanest way to do it.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, there are those big cash leagues where, I mean, if you're big time, like you put $1,000 in each person.
Right.
And those are going to be the ones that are hardest to swallow. Like, I was having a great season. I was in line to basically afford a new car.
Are you in a $1,000 cash league?
No, I'm not. Not me. But, you know, sure they exist. I mean, if you work at a hedge fund and you're really hardcore about it, I would not be shocked at all. I mean, you like to gamble, Josh. It's like there is where an extra level of juice is. So I'm just saying, I'm sure they exist. I'm sure those are the hardest ones to swallow. And yeah, maybe you need to go to some sort of court of arbitration to figure out what you're going to do there. But
yeah, this is like, I think it's just the clean. Yeah. There's no easy answer, but I think it's the best answer. Maybe if you want everybody, you know, sometimes like the money, you know, I have money keeps people engaged too. So maybe it's like, if it was a $50 league, maybe everyone just puts in $20 next season. You know, maybe you just make it like it's not a true skins game, but you sort of just put on a little bit extra, you know, just to sort of add a little extra juice, you know, to the following season. Yeah. So I don't know. There's really you know, what's the word here? We're at sea right now, Brandon. You know, we're just throwing stuff out. So
yeah. Well, speaking of mini leagues and payouts, this is a great segue into the Always Cheating Super League. Who knows if this is just where the standings remain for eternity for this season? But we'll run through the top 10 here of the Always Cheating Super League. Technically, after game week 30. It doesn't look like anyone in the top 10 burned a transfer prior to the deadline, so they remain unchanged. So I'll run through the top 10 here real quick, Josh, and then we can talk about a little bit more about our UK travels. So here we are, 10th place in the Always Cheating Super League. Neil Thompson in 9th place, Declan Ryan. 8th place, Christian Larson. In 7th, Lars Jorgen Bernstein. In 6th place, Lucas Matthew. Ben Veer in 5th place. Tu Lumbi in 4th. Hugh Patrick Campbell sitting in 3rd place. Predrag Juric in 2nd. And top of the heap in 1st place, it's Damian Bird with Will He Score Another? Will he score another this season? We do not know.
We do not know. Then let's move on to Patreon before we get into our travelogue. So, Brandon, we're kind of in a tricky spot with Patreon. We don't want to, you know, in theory, the season is coming back in April. We both think that's unlikely. But we, you know, there isn't a ton of fantasy content going on right now. There's also just a tough time for people. So we are suspending Patreon payments for the month of April. So the first of that month when you would normally be charged for Patreon, you will not be charged. And that is just a thank you to all of our patrons and a way to say that, I don't know, just thanks for supporting the podcast. Thank you for continuing to support it, during this very wacky time. You know, if the season
we
is
hear
ultimately,
for you.
Yeah, exactly. If the season is ultimately canceled, then obviously that will be a long-term suspension. We're not going to charge people when there's no season to talk about. But we're, you know, we'll sort of take that on a case by case, a month by month basis. But for right now, all patrons will not be charged in the month of April. And thank you to our two newest patrons, Brandon Moore and Adam France, who got in just while the getting was bad. Sorry to you, Brandon and Adam, but thank you very much. You can still become a patron, by the way. You know, the Always Eating Slack channel, which I didn't even know existed. It's a private Slack channel that I just got invited to. I'm pretty excited about that because I am definitely taking the cooking things. There's no sports, Brandon. Have I mentioned there's no sports right now?
Couldn't help but notice. Yeah, there's a channel on our Slack for eating. There is a channel there for brewing if you're a home brewer, or you,
yeah,
a lot of us are going to be consuming a lot of beer and booze over the next month or so. There's a channel in there for film and TV for people to talk about what they're streaming while they're self-quarantined. Lots of stuff going on there apart from FPL.
The Slack has always been about 50% non-fantasy topics anyway. So that 50% is really shining right now. So you can still become a patron. We would encourage it. We'd love it if you can do it. Go to patreon.com/alwayscheating to learn more. And we actually created some video stuff while we were in the UK too that we're going to try to add to that page at some point as well. So keep an eye out for that. I don't know when, but that will be up at some point. Brian, let's take a break and we'll get back and we'll talk about the UK trip.
Hey guys, with the Premier League suspended and currently we are also without NBA, NHL, March Madness has been canceled.
MLS.
You might get no more MLS. My God, you're out there. You're thinking, hey, there's nothing to bet on. Well, if you thought that, you're wrong. If you go to BetOnline.ag, BetOnline still has hundreds of places to wager, from their online casino to poker and blackjack. It's all open 24 hours a day, all online, and sports aren't totally done. There's still mixed martial arts. There's esports like League of Legends and Counter-Strike. They're on the rise. And if you're into entertainment and pop culture, you can also place bets on American Idol and the presidential elections. So visit betonline.ag and be sure to use our promo code BLUEWIRE to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Again, that's betonline.ag and the promo code BLUEWIRE, all one word. BetOnline, your new ticket to online action.
All right, Brad, we're back. UK trip. Talked about it very briefly on our Monday morning pod. It was, but really didn't get into it that much. And it was really quite an in-depth trip. And now that there is no fantasy to talk about, I think that we should give this trip the proper attention that it may or may not deserve. I don't know. I don't know if it deserves any attention or not, but it's a fun, we had some weird and wild times while we were out there. So let's get right into it.
Yeah, so the trip was wall to wall, right? It wasn't kind of our intention. So the idea you might have in your mind, it's just Josh and Brandon, lads on tour. We catch a flight to the UK and we're just, slinging beers and watching football.
That's part of it.
Into like a full there was enough of that for sure. But we really tried to bring the Always Cheating podcast to the UK as best we could. We wanted to, spread the word about our business and connect with fans and also connect with the Premier League. So with all the matches, we also connected with the Premier League's FPL show, the FPL FYI show, and then we had a great meetup. So
yeah, go ahead. You go first.
Yeah. I thought we kind of outlined this day by day. So we left New York, we took the red eye around 11 p.m. Wednesday night. So effectively, the UK trip starts on Thursday. So we'll go day by day, Thursday until we leave on Tuesday, and then all utter hell breaks loose.
So let's start with the travel pillow, because you and I, we knew that we were taking an overnight flight. We were going to land on Thursday and basically drop our stuff up and then immediately go to Premier League Studios to record this FPL show with Jules Breach and James Richardson. So I was like really worried. Neither of us sleep well on the flight.
No.
And so, and then we decided to start drinking heavily as soon as we got to the airport with the hope that maybe that would help. It's my first Delta Sky Lounge appearance either. So thank you to you and your wife who you guys got some like fancy Amex card that got us in there. So that was cool.
It's the least we could do for you, Jeff.
but I had this very thick pillow and I could tell that you were just really jealous, like genuinely, like I could tell, like it was rare that I was saying at the time, I was like, the dynamic is very rare that I have anything that you're jealous of, you sort of, I've got kids, you don't want kids, I've got student loan debt, you don't, I'm shorter than you, but I am younger and I do try to lord that one aspect over you
you have more hair on your head than I do
have more hair. I don't lord that one as much anymore, especially as I feel like my own, I see more grays, coming than I used to. So yeah, but you, Yeah. So we take this flight, it leaves super late, and then we just were like, we were just decided we were all, we had like a full, you had a full pasta meal at like 1 a.m.
Yeah. Yeah. Why? Okay. So this is an interesting phenomenon on planes or international travel, where the airline tries to sort of set up your body for where you're going to end up. So, you end with breakfast as you arrive in the UK early in the morning, or you end with like a midday snack as you arrive back in New York. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I was eating just a plate of cheese stuffed ravioli at 1 a.m. and I was just like, I feel horrible. And as I'm doing that, I'm queuing up one of the weirdest movies I've ever seen, Yesterday, where no one knows that the Beatles ever existed. So I was putting my body and mind through all sorts of weird things. And then, yeah, I look over to the right and you're there with your little blindfold over and you're sleeping away with your neck pillow, kind of like reaching over, just sort of like fondly stroking the felt of your neck pillow while you slept.
I don't sleep well on flights. I did get a couple hours in, thank God. But yeah, the flight was good. We get in and, customs, everything's fine. Airports are normal, right? I mean, I can't say flying there or back, there was no sense that we were about to enter a pandemic, right? At all. Like it was something you joked about it almost, right?
Yeah, there was an undercurrent of something. I think some people were starting to cancel their travel. So, you know,
I was going to say, you didn't bring sanitizer with you. Like that was, I at least have my little bottle of hand sanitizer.
I did not. So that's a personal problem of mine, but you know, there are conferences in London where I work in books and you're book adjacent. There's a big London book fair that was canceled. So there's a lot of travel back and forth that was preemptively canceled. But yeah, as you say, didn't seem to be any real reason for the two of us to stop our trip. We had already got our hands on these match day tickets. We'd scheduled these TV shows. So it was all systems go. So hilarious travel continues, where we get into Heathrow and take, you know, a death defying cab ride into central London.
Most expensive cab ride I've ever taken in my entire life.
Yeah, and London traffic is impossible. I think that's a fair word.
Driving through backyards. Why are there no highways? It's crazy. It's like you're driving through, like you're in central London, and it's like you were like all but like getting out of the car to like hop over the top of a roof or something to get. Like, yeah. It's ridiculous.
There's a thing like in canoeing called portage, where there's actually no way through the waterway, so you get out of the canoe and you and your partner pick it up and carry it across land. something like that.
That was at risk. That was definitely a possibility.
Right. So we get to our Airbnb, which is in Islington, and we have approximately 2 hours to catch some Z's before a car is picking us up to take us all the way back to Heathrow, where Stockley Park is, where they're filming the FTL show.
The exact, like within 300 yards of the place that we had just driven like 100 hours out of, we immediately went straight back there, except now it was rush hour and it took twice as long. It was, maybe not the smartest of travel plans on our part.
So you can go to the Premier League website and go to the video section and drill it down to fantasy videos. And there you can see us on TV with Jules Breach and James Richardson. First of all, a shout out to David Monday at the Fantasy Football Scout for connecting us with Sean Creamer, who produces the FPL show. And Sean was amazing. He was a total pro, but Ollie, also a huge Ollie, if you're listening, big shout out to you. And everyone who was involved with the show, they were great and professional, but they were also clearly fans of FPL. They all play. They're all pretty serious about it.
Yeah, including Jules.
And Jules was she's a hardcore Brighton fan. She was, I think, at one point having a really great season until the Mane triple captain. You and her shared that same thing.
Yeah, respect to her. I mean, so we get to this By the way, I am a person who gets deathly car sick. Like, you put me in a car for longer than 10 minutes, unless I'm driving, I get incredibly. It's like we get there and I'm like laying on a couch, like trying to like recover, you know, like before we have to go on air in like 30 minutes. And so Jules Breach walks in though, and she is just like full of energy, and she's not especially tall, you know, but she's got a lot of presence. And so she just like bursts in and starts talking like fantasy, and it's like super hardcore. And it's like, at first you're like, okay, like she is, you know, trying to like make us comfortable, make us feel like we are, you know, that we're all in this together. We all like play fan, you know, it's like, she was just trying to like, you know, like the way like a talk show host will make the people feel better about like, oh, like I enjoy stand-up comedy and you do stand-up comedy or whatever, you know, but it was like, but it went so much further than that, because it was like, she was just like just going into her team, like drilling down and like talking. Yeah. And I was like, wow, I was like, you really like are like amped up to talk about this. And so, you know, maybe that just makes for a great host, because after that I felt very comfortable, and I was kind of, I think you were in makeup during some of this, Brandon. You were in makeup for a very, very long time. Good. About an hour and a half. It was like, I remember reading about the makeup that Rebecca Romijn Stamos did for X-Men to be Mystique. And I think it was kind of in that realm.
I was in the makeup chair, and that's where I first met James Richardson. So yeah, while you were chumming around with Jules, and then you had met James, and then I'm finishing up my makeup, and AC Jimbo, you know, if you're a fan of football podcasts, if you're just a fan of football, particularly in the UK, you know AC Jimbo, you know James Richardson. He was a longtime host of the Guardian podcast, goes back to Serie A days, and now he's on the Totally Football show and the Premier League's fantasy podcast. And he is just like, he's the godfather of football broadcast content.
Was it Italian 90? Was that the show that he did? That was never in the US, but he's huge in the UK and probably elsewhere for his Italian football show.
He just comes into the makeup room and just starts chatting with me. And then it was like, what a true like Hollywood moment, right? Then I get out of the chair, AC Jimbo jumps into the chair, and I'm chatting with him while he's getting his makeup.
What'd you guys chat about? Just this and that?
I think, it'll stay between us. It'll stay between us.
Personally, you guys were there a long time, so that makes sense. And then I walked in there for makeup, and they said, you don't need any, bud. You know, you're great. And so that was actually fine. It was, for me, it was, I combed my hair a couple times, you know, slicked it back. You know, as you know, I get two handfuls of water and I just put it right in the hair, you know, and slick it straight back.
Yeah, sure. I was going to say, I thought they spritzed you down with just some fresh water. So you had that sort of Dwayne the Rock Johnson sheen on you.
Oh yeah. There's a little, body butter that they put on, which is nice. Actually, it does give you nice. I wouldn't do the show shirtless again, right? I mean, it's okay, do it once, with a shirt on, that's fine, you know, but twice, I don't know. So if I were to list the like 10, I don't know, the five biggest highlights from going to the UK, it wouldn't even be being on that show. It would be just meeting AC Jimbo, who is about as important to me in becoming like a really hardcore Premier League fan as anybody in the world. I'd actually put the Men in Blazers up there too, even though, I don't want to say even though, but just I would put the Men in Blazers up there as well. But it was the Men in Blazers podcast and AC Jimbo's Guardian Football Weekly, twice weekly podcast that turned me from a fan to a giant mega super fan. I'm going to create a weekly podcast type fan. And so meeting him and him just being really cool and nice. And then Jules, obviously, exactly the same. It was just a really cool, experience.
So what we talked about on the FPL show was the double game week, and I was talking about this all on 2 hours of sleep. I felt like absolute crap, and it feels so long ago now because we were touting like Aubameyang. I said it was the easiest captain decision I had made all season. Little did I know, Josh.
Ozil. I said Ozil was not a fantasy asset. Gets one of the only two attacking returns for us all.
But what they didn't impress upon us first is how the FPL show, like you watch it streaming online mostly. It's live. They do it live.
It's like aired on like networks across the world, like as it goes live. Because there was a moment about 2 minutes in where you were basically like, what? Cut?
Yeah. Yep. And AC Jibba, because he's a total pro, he's like, I think you're being ironic, Brandon. And then he just continues on with the show. And I was like, okay, this car is not stopping.
It was amazing too, because he opens things up by asking us, I didn't know what to do with my body. You know, I wanted a hard back. I wanted a wing back chair, really. Mm-hmm. I wanted a place to put my hands, and like, I want, ideally have my feet up as well. So the opening question though is probably the most basic fundamental question you could ask two Americans who have a fantasy Premier League podcast. He was like, yeah, so the fantasy game is really on the rise in the United States, isn't it? And mm-hmm. I was like, I had no answer. I was like,
you said it has something to do with MLS.
MLS, which I don't even think is true. I was just like, I had no answer. I had nothing that like nothing was in my head. And of course, because I'm good TV, Brandon, I just answered anyway. I just like started throwing words out. Well, you and I were just like, they didn't really prompt like who was going to talk. I felt like I just started talking, you know, and then sort of like this podcast where it's just I fill every blank second that's available.
Yeah.
But I mean, what would be the answer to that? Why is the fantasy game in the rise of the U.S.? I don't know. It feels like in hindsight, that's probably because NBC's coverage is so good. That would actually
be it goes. I think it goes hand in hand with the rise of the Premier League generally in the States. And, you know, Americans love fantasy sports. So it's just like, it's chocolate and peanut butter, Josh.
That would have been a good answer. If you had been on 8 hours sleep, that would have been your answer right there. That's a good one.
Yes, right. Exactly. I have regrets. When we're back on that show again, we're going to be that much smoother. But I just wanted to shout out our friend James Bishop real quick, who made me look especially good on the show. He works for this denim company called AG Jeans, and James hooked me up with these amazing AG Jeans. If you're looking for denim that has a really sharp fit, I would highly recommend checking out an AG shop. And Sean then gave us a tour after the show of Stockley Park, and you know, the VAR Center is like Area 51, like off limits, but we kind of like, you know, we saw where VAR was. Yeah,
we walked. We saw the gleaming black cube. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, it was very cool. Very cool. So yeah, big thanks to everyone involved with the FPL show. Such a fantastic experience. Then we got a car back to London so we could actually sleep for real for the first time in like more than 48 hours. And it was glorious.
It was great. Good. We both got like a good 12 hours of sleep. So next day we recorded a quick Patreon podcast, and then we that was like the only like little like window of time actually where we were free. And I have this Barber jacket fixation, as long time listeners will know, you know, but you can buy barber jackets over there. It's like the perfect jacket, you know, it's the perfect coat. Mm-hmm. And so I was really in the market to get one for me and my wife. And so, I force our one afternoon off, the one block of time that we had, mm-hmm. we spent 4.5 hours looking for barber jackets. And, you held up pretty well. I could tell you were fading by the end, but you bought yourself a little, like a little page boy or something, didn't you? I feel like you got something.
I got a waxed canvas barber hat.
Right.
Something every man needs. Exactly.
I got it home on the trip, like, either.
I'm not sure. Yeah. Well, I'm not sure it actually fits me. You know, sometimes you just buy something just to buy it.
It's like last time when you bought that $200 rain jacket and then hasn't even not worn it once since then.
Well, yeah. And so after that, you knew well enough to get me into a pub and get a beer in my hand, and everything was right. And then we were on our way to Coin Laundry on Exmouth Market for a fabulous
coronavirus meetup. Yep.
Yeah. I mean, we met. It was like our wedding, right? Like you and I didn't see each other for the entire 6+ hours that we were there. Like we got separated, and then it was just all these fabulous FPL managers coming down to this room and saying hello and talking about FPL. And they're just like queues of people that I wanted to talk to and meet. And I can't remember everyone's name, but everyone who I met, I loved you all. And shout outs to the family, son, father, grandfather, who showed up, and they all play FPL together.
That was so cool.
You guys are amazing. Yes.
Huddersfield. I think they might have come from Huddersfield.
Can't remember. And a guy who, was he Swedish? I can't remember, but he brought his pregnant wife, who is from Michigan City, Indiana. So even people in Europe and the UK are bringing Midwest exports to our feet. And I was so honored by that.
Yeah. And a lot of Americans who live in London, where they, Blair Jacobson, one of our longtime producers, it was just a great mix of people at the event. And in the end, it had kind of a, you know, now that the season's over, it felt like it was almost like an end of year party. I mean, it was such a great chance to meet all of these different people, you know, and, and I don't know. I mean, it's kind of hard to talk about this because I feel like you kind of had to, I don't know, if you weren't there, it's not very particularly interesting. We could talk about these matches, and that's a little more fun because like people could have seen the matches, but it was just a great, the venue was great. Everyone was so nice, and it was just, it was really, everyone should be so lucky to, like you said, it was like a wedding because like, it's like one of the few times when like you meet people and everyone is nice to you. Everyone's nice to you in your wedding, right? Everyone's nice to you if your child is born, you know? Yeah. And, but other than that, when you're an adult human being, you very rarely have times where like everyone, maybe like the first day at a new job or something, right? Where like everyone is just like super nice to you and it's very good for the soul, you know, for that sort of thing to happen. So and, maybe the lesson here is have kids and start new jobs, you know, because it's a good feeling.
special shout out to the young woman who came down from Leeds who
with her friends. We had met her friend, another friend of her friend at the Black Horse, and so that was just it was just a very cool experience. Go ahead, sorry.
And I guess last shout out of people who showed up is we as Americans are very fortunate that the like other people in the FPL content creation space are very welcoming of us. So big thanks to all the other FPL content creators who came by, including Who Got the Assist, FPL Family, FPL Planet. And I'm sure I'm forgetting some, but you guys are amazing hosts and great to see you there.
Yeah, and tons of Patreon supporters too. And very cool to see Richard Orford there as well. It's been a while since we'd seen him.
So. Richard Orford, my man.
All right, so that was Friday. Great meetup. And the deadline, the UK deadline for transfers that game week, there was a you know, what would be a 7:30 a.m. kickoff in the US. It was a 12:30 kickoff in the UK. So I needed to just make sure that I was up before 11:30 to make my transfers. And I woke up at 11:26 in a blind panic. And Brandon, if I had just slept in 4 minutes longer, I would have had like 20 more points in game week 29. I would have captained Salah. I would have had Anthony Martial on my team still. It was we'll never know, will we? The ESPN will have to do a 30 for 30 on the lost double game week in the game week 29 because
Roger Kendrick is going to run a FIFA simulation to tell us what happened.
In my head, I will always assume that Aubameyang would have. Honestly, he could have. I mean, you know, we saw the Manchester Derby. There was no reason to think that that they were going to keep Arsenal scoreless in that match. So let's assume that Aubameyang would have had a brace and it would have been glorious. I don't know, but it was not to be.
Well, I was on my wild card, Josh, and I had a terrible hangover Saturday morning. So to try and polish off my wild card was, you know, no small feat. It didn't go terribly. I did have the courage to stick with Bernd Leno, and that was probably my big move in that game week. But it was nice to be in the UK to not have to worry about what is typically a 6:30 a.m. deadline for us here in New York, to have a little more civilized pre-lunchtime deadline. So that was like thumbs up.
Yeah, it would have been cool if I had woken up, earlier in the morning and been thoughtful with my moves. So we get up and we go to the Arsenal West Ham match, and you and I had decided we were actually struggling to get tickets to this match. You know, anyone who does not live in the United Kingdom knows that it is very tricky to buy Premier League matches. There's not the kind of StubHub culture that exists in the United States, where basically nobody buys tickets from the, like, the team, right? Like, yeah. If you, like, you're a sucker. If you
nobody
don't go
plays,
to, you know, yeah.
Nobody plays a fantasy sport that's put on by the league itself. Everyone
right.
goes to, like, Yahoo or ESPN. And yeah. no one buys tickets from the clubs themselves.
No, because the absolute, like, even in the best case scenario, you are on a million email lists from them for the rest of your life. You will never, I cannot stop getting emails from the Mets. Like, the one time I bought Mets tickets, like running some kind of promotion or something. So we decided, you know what, it's a once in a lifetime thing. Let's spring for the, what do they call them again?
Club Arsenal, I think.
The Club Arsenal, not luxury package. There's, some name for them. What is that called?
The hospitality.
Thank you. The hospitality. So we got the hospitality package, which basically means that you sort of get, it's like a little like VIP experience that you can pay for, right? So you get there early, and you get lunch in this nice dining room. They give you like a little gift. In our case, we got a scarf. And then you get to go to this kind of like private box, basically. And then there's a box, but then you also have seats kind of like you open the doors to the box, then you go down to these seats, and it's like it's just sort of like a private experience. So, and then there's just, and what was appealing to us was the food, because we're like, well, we need a food anyway, and the unlimited alcohol that you would have. Basically, I think it was from like 1:30 to 4 or something. Basically, you had like a 2.5 hour window where it was like all you can eat and all you can drink, yeah. and you get to watch these matches in nice seats, right? And so,
yeah.
And I cannot. I was feeling a little like, this is like a little like. Like, you know, neither of us are like 1% type people in general. No. It's not like we didn't grow up that
way.
Even
though we show up in our barber jackets and all that.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I bought my first one used, okay? Okay. I got it for under $100. But yeah, so it was like, you know, I was like a little like, is this like really going to be like too pampered? You know, I'm not used to this kind of thing. You know, I'm used to sitting in bleachers, and it was awesome. Uh-huh. I would do it again in a cocaine heartbeat, Brandon. I would do it again so fast. It was so great. I mean, hey, like maybe it's because we aren't 1%ers that the 1% experience felt so good. Yeah. It was great. It was great. It was definitely worth trying to do once.
And even though we were sat in a box, I don't think that we were deprived of a true fan experience, because right in front of us in that box was this proper Cockney geezer in a flat cap, like really sinewy, small, muscly guy.
Yeah.
And he was a diehard Arsenal fan and could not believe what he was watching.
He looked
Arsenal
like Billy. He looked like Billy Bragg, basically. He looked like a Billy Bragg, modern day Billy Bragg was sitting in front of us.
And he was just losing his absolute mind. At one point, He was up against the guardrail in front of him. So at one point, he just, with both of his hands, grabs the rail in front of him and is just like shaking himself forward and backward and just screaming like, I can't stand it!
Yeah, add a few curse words in there. And that was, that was
absolutely.
It was amazing. And of course, all of us just ignored him, you know, because as you do, you know, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
But the match was, the food was great. Food was better than the match. Let's say that much. The food and the gift. It was like a super nice scarf, and the food was delicious, and the beer and the champagne was good. The match was whatever. I mean, Arsenal.
Nketiah cannot play as central forward. It was one of the, as people who are both Captain Aubameyang, it was the most frustrating thing to watch, because Nketiah could not control any ball to allow any attack to start, and Aubameyang was just starved of touches. Yeah.
It's good. You know, I was thinking as we were watching, it was good perspective, because I think when you watch matches on TV, it's a lot easier to fall into the trap of just sort of following your player, like being like super fantasy focused. And in this match, it was like, because I saw like some of the commentary on Twitter, and people were like, oh, like, come on, Aubameyang, like, what are you doing? And what could he have done in that match? I mean, given his role, I mean, there really wasn't, you know, and so it was good perspective to sort of see like, oh yeah, he is utterly isolated on the left. I mean, he like barely had a touch of the ball in the entire match. The only a couple times when he drifted in, that was like the only, you know, I think he set up, was it Socrates or somebody for a goal attempt and hit it off the crossbar. You know, and so it was just kind of a, it was not his fault, you know, and it was good to sort of like, when you watch the, you know, watch it in person, you really got the sense that he was doing what he was filling a role, you know, and, that role did not really allow him to be, you know, kind of the primary goal scorer. And so, whether that was, you know, the best setup, I don't know. I mean, they probably should have been down a goal or two to West Ham before then. I mean, you know, it was not
West Ham had so many chances. Antonio had a couple of gilt edge chances. Leno had a couple of really decent saves, and West Ham squandered a few of the other chances. We'll say, Aubameyang had a pretty decent chemistry with Saka down the left, and that was fun to see.
Yeah.
On the right-hand side, however, Pepe, yikes. Yeah.
He stinks. I mean, come on.
He's not working.
It's not working. Give him like 5 years and maybe he'll be decent. I don't know. He's not working. So fun match. And then you and I went to a steakhouse that it was like, I don't know what, I'm not even going to name it, but I mean, the food was good, but it was like very, it was very relaxed. It was a little too relaxed for my New York taste. I wanted people to be, you know, pretending to like me a little more than we were getting.
We have been, we've been changed by New York, I think, living here for 15 plus years. Like we can get into that, like, go, go, go. Let's, like, we're at a restaurant. We're doing
I'm in a hurry. Let's go. Exactly.
Yeah.
So the next morning, we get up at Sunday morning now, 2 days left on the trip. Sunday morning, we wake up, and it's Manchester Derby Day. And I wake up very sluggishly at 9 a.m. from a message from our friend Patty, the Fantasy King, that says trains to Manchester are completely screwed. I don't know what you're going to do. Good luck. And we're supposed to leave in like
Patty's
30
credit.
Minutes.
He was trying to no, of course, he was trying to sort things out for
us. But. Yes. So we find out that like one of our trains is just canceled, and it's not clear there's any way to get back that doesn't require like a 10-hour bus to get back. And so we're sort of like, I don't know what to do here. You know, like we don't, you know, like it's,
do we go to Manchester and risk not being able to get home?
Yeah.
I mean, the risk of not going to Manchester is we have tickets to the Manchester Derby at Old Trafford. What a dream fixture for a couple of doofus American football fans. We've got to go. Mm-hmm. But if we go, are we stuck in Manchester?
Back? Yeah, we had the FPL FYI show that we were recording early the next day. We had the Leicester match, so another train ride for the next, you know, for the following day. And so we just walked down there. We're like, you know what? It's Manchester United playing Manchester City. It is the once in a lifetime gets thrown around a lot, but it was not easy to get these tickets. It was not, I don't know. Well, I mean, I probably will never be at Old Trafford again for a match, you know? And so it was like, we have to go, we have to do this. And let's just hope that we can get home. You know, if it requires us taking a 5-hour Uber back, then let's cross that bridge when, you know, we come to it. So, so we got up there, the train ride up actually wasn't so bad. We get to the stadium and, I have the worst fish and chips I've ever had, you know, just as a quick aside. And we get to the stadium and it's crazy because it is a 100-year-old stadium. But, you know, so which actually is kind of wonderful. I mean, I love old stadiums. We grew up in Michigan where you've got Tiger Stadium, great old stadium. It doesn't exist anymore. But, you know, Fenway Park, you know, I guess Fenway Park is probably the closest equivalent, although Old Trafford's like three times the size. So we get there and everything is very old in a very cool way, except for the gift shop, which is the swankest thing in all of England, I think. I think the Man United gift shop is like made out of gold. Like I could not believe how swank that place was.
They had a wing for the home kit. They had a separate wing for the away kit. They had another wing for the third kit.
I almost bought custom Adidas shoes just because I like got so swept up in the commerce of it all. You know, I couldn't. I was buying scarves all the places we went. I don't know what I'm going to do with them, but it's just like a fun little. They're not that expensive, you know. I was like, eh. So we popped in there to get scarves. I think we both got like
I got a fridge magnet.
Fridge magnets, yeah. I mean, both of us realized that the United, really it looks a lot like a hot dog, doesn't it? The part of the logo that says United at the bottom. It's very hot dog looking.
Bit of a Frankenfurter with mustard on it for sure.
It's got a little bit of that, yeah. So then the match itself, we go up to our seats and we're in the East End, and it's very cool because first of all, you and I place our bets. We have, you know, like all betting amateurs, mm-hmm. Just spend a bunch of money for no reason, just like buying crap.
And we hedged. We got like 2-1 Manchester United to win.
Yeah,
Bruno to score, plus a 3-2 win, a 3-1 Man City win, Maguire first to score. We're like, one of these is coming through. We're gold.
I was like, we're gonna get like two of these for sure. And it was completely ridiculous. Of course, none of it happened. And the match itself was pretty good, though. I mean, I thought United looked excellent. City were awful. The whole match, they were awful.
Ederson, as evidenced by, getting beat again at the near post by Martial for the second time in one season, and for his goof to gift that goal to McTominay, Ederson could not be arsed in this match.
He really could not.
Wanted to be somewhere else. The rest of City just didn't show up. Though, as you say, Manchester United, I thought, looked good. It was the dream scenario as two neutrals going to this home ground to see United play the way they did. The fans, the atmosphere was, what we experience with the broadcast and not being as familiar with the match-going experience, it was everything that you could have hoped for. The atmosphere that you dream of, that you see kind of filtering through your TV, like to experience it. It was amazing. So hats off to the United fans who really showed up for that match.
I agree. The McTominay goal was really, I mean, the ground was shaking. It was such a cool experience. I mean, that was great. I mean, the Martial goal was cool to see because it happened right in front of us. Less cool because I had burned him on a -4. And the whole weekend was really set up to remind me that I care too much about fantasy. It was like, I was like, I had these amazing matches, and I just kept thinking, every game was like a knife in the ribs, you know? Aubameyang blank, Martial screws me. I last minute going for Jose Perez over Harvey Barnes. So it was just like a bunch of like little death by a thousand cuts kind of thing. But the stadium experience, I agree with you, especially because the match started at 4:30, I believe. And so we actually were able to watch the sun go down and, derby atmosphere, 1-0 match for almost all of it. Right. So, just, really tense and Man City really pushing hard in the second half too, which is actually very cool because they were on our side. And so not that they were able to like muster anything, there was one offside goal from Aguero. We got a little VAR experience too, which stinks, of course,
With the Lacazette goal for sure. Yeah,
it took like 4 minutes. Even as like an Arsenal, I don't know, whatever. I'm not even gonna pretend I celebrated that goal. I was like, whatever. Like it was just so it was so drawn out, but just the tension and like you said, the fans were great. And so,
shout out to the guy to my left who I embraced after the McTominay goal. And I really hope that he didn't have coronavirus.
So. We'll find out in another day or two, I guess. you guys actually like spit each other's mouths too, which I think was too far. That was, caught up in the moment,
Yeah. So we left Old Trafford after a wonderful match and kind of miraculously just walked right into a cab that took us to the train station, sorted out a train to Leeds, and the train between Manchester and Leeds, we met a sterling example of the Manchester United fan base, I'm sure. This guy who was standing up, who was just absolutely pissed out of his mind, and he was very excited that he beat City, and then he continued to just make an absolute fool of himself.
Torture
everybody. And everyone hated his guts. It was torturous. And then poetically, he goes on to complain about how Liverpool fans are complete idiots and don't know how to carry themselves. And only United fans can. So a little bit of a strange dynamic happening there.
Yeah, I saw the good.
The farther north you head.
The good and the bad. So that is that was day whatever that is. That gets us to Monday, the final full day of the trip. We may have seen what is the final match of the 2019-20 Premier League season. But that morning we did the FPL FYI show with James Alcott and Rambo. And I have to admit, I was feeling like a little apprehensive about it, just a little exhausted. And it was such a great experience. These guys were so, everyone involved in that was so cool. And you can find that on the Premier League's YouTube channel. You can find James Alcott and Rambo both on Twitter and social media. We got to see what it was like to record like a real slick, high level YouTube show. And it was cool. Like it made me want to do it, you know, like it was a really, really fun experience.
The energy that James and Rambo brought was awesome. They were like total pros, but like definitely, you know, it's easy to say we're just having a chat. We're just having fun. Just friends talking about fantasy. They actually live it and they do it. And so we were there for, you know, hour and a half, close to 2 hours recording content. And then to see behind the scenes, they had this whole crack production team, like immediately editing the show together, and what results is like a 35 minute long, like tightly packed, hilarious, interesting chat about FPL. So yeah, follow James and Rambo, follow FPL FYI and Rambo. It's a lot of fun. And shout out to Suj from Planet FPL who connected us with James. Much appreciated there. And yeah, go watch it.
Yeah. So that brings us to Monday night, and our friend Paul Pryor had hooked us up with some tickets to the Leicester City match. I think we can say that because he got them through the normal. There's nothing untoward about that. And it turns out he's like the mayor of Leicester, like not literally, but he was like the this is incredibly popular, well-liked guy, right? You were walking around with him. Of course, I had to do my normal gift shop visit.
You were in the gift shop trying on shirts and shoes and all that. And I was walking around the King Power with Paul. And all these people from the community were coming up to Paul saying hello. And it was awesome. Like, Paul was a really nice guy. And it was great to see how the club connects to the community. And I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, it was the whole, I will say, if I were a neutral and I just was not a Premier League fan, like, or I was looking for a club or something like that, I think the Leicester matches, that would be the team that I would glom onto. That was the best fit for my personality. I mean, the Manchester derby was amazing, but the intensity was so high. It's like, it's almost hard to match that if you're not already there. You know, like, I think both of us are following the league long enough that we sort of got on that energy length. But if you're just, I don't know if that would make me a fan necessarily, you know, because it was so virulent, you know, trying to like bring down Man City, you know, it was like a real like intensity level there. And the Arsenal match was so clean, like in a way, and there's a sort of wonderful way, the way that I really liked, you know, as an Arsenal supporter, but maybe didn't have like the grittiness or whatever. And it felt like the Leicester match kind of mixed it all together. You had the, it was a nice stadium. It was a great experience. It was, you know, the crowd was really into it. I'll never forget the little 8-year-old behind me yelling, "Break his legs!" During the match.
It was like the scene in Karate Kid, like, put him in a body bag. Anytime Jack Grealish got the ball, the Leicester fans were baying for blood. And I was thinking about this, like every match we saw, Arsenal, West Ham, technically a London derby, Manchester derby, and Leicester Villa was kind of a Midlands clash of sorts. And I think there was a little extra in it there. But yeah, these fans wanted Grealish's pretty face to be taken clean off.
But I was, do you know what I mean about like that? I guess I don't know if I finished my thought, but I was just like, if I were looking for a club and this trip was the, like, you know, and I saw these three matches, I think I would come out of it a Leicester City fan because it was just fun. Yep. It was just a cool, fun experience. I would go back to that stadium again, 100%. I like their colors of their, I mean, it's like, I just like yeah. everything about them, you know? So yeah, that was
well,
a good
here's
time.
What I noticed about the stadium. So once we were sat in our seats, the screens, I don't know how much of this has changed since Leicester basically won the league and changed the face of Leicester City, but the monitors that they had on either end of the pitch where they showed the scoreline and the lineups were big and crystal clear and beautiful and kind of unobtrusive at the same time. The stadium, just to be in it, it felt right. And you mm-hmm. felt kind of connected
like
with
perfect,
the fans
in a way,
and the
action right?
on the pitch. Yeah.
Yeah. yeah like the right. perfect mix.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And our seats were right behind when Leicester was attacking in the second half. We got to see Jamie Vardy up mm-hmm. close and personal
yep.
score a penalty and then
cool.
jabber at Pepe Reina, just trash talk him. And it was just like, it was to be close to that. It was really awesome.
Not Pepe Reina's finest game, for sure. Came out way early yeah. on that Harvey Barnes goal in the first one.
Yeah. Aston Villa hit rock bottom in that match, and they looked so bad. They looked yeah. like – they were like a whole team of Edersons, just couldn't care less.
That was weird. Yeah. If anybody needs a 8-week coronavirus break, it's probably Aston Villa. So, yeah, maybe – yeah, I guess McGinn will be back by the time the season resumes. So that's something. Harry Kane too. Like, who knows? Who knows who's gonna be back? So that was Monday night, and then Tuesday morning we left early, took the flight back. More Bellinis and more not sleeping. I watched a ton of movies. Uh-huh. Maybe I'll save my movie reviews for an upcoming Patreon podcast or something. But I watched a lot. I watched this movie called The Current War, which has got to be like uh-huh. I mean, it's like the ultimate dad movie. Like, I watched a movie about like the fight for energy dominance in the United States in the early 20th sure. century. But it was it had Michael Shannon and Benedict Cumberbatch. I mean, oh, just give me a break, right? I mean. Two great actors. Benedict Cumberbatch played played Thomas Edison, and then Nicholas Holt played Tesla. So it was just a very good cast. And but yeah, you may have to be over 30 and have at least one child to really enjoy that movie. It's such a dad film. But yeah, so it was. Then we landed in New York and we went through customs, and they're basically like, "You good?" And I was like, "Yep, I'm fine." and that was uh-huh. that. I mean, I you know, it was the next day. It was like everything was over in the world. But as yeah. of Tuesday, it was like everything was kind of fine. You know, it was a weird thing.
Yeah. And it's Sunday night. It'll be Monday when everyone's hearing this. And, you know, both you and I are healthy and we feel good and we're just
very lucky.
Like you yeah. started off this podcast saying, we were just very, very lucky to have been able to have done all this and been with our friends and our listeners and seen this football and come yeah. through the other side back home with our families.
Yeah. Yeah. Very, very lucky. And it's, you know, yeah. And yeah, I feel very lucky that we have a podcast that, you know, that kind of gave us the, you know, the reason to go do this and meet all these people mm-hmm. and do all this stuff. And yeah, and then we got in right under the wire, as it turns out. And so maybe it's so fortunate that it almost gives me like a little, like it feels like weird. You know, it's like when you like get away with something, you know, you're like, oh, mm-hmm. like really, that could have gone a lot, you know, I don't know. And so I feel that way a little bit too. I'm like, I cannot believe how close we were to just yeah. being stuck in London. I mean, right? Like there's now a travel, I guess it's not necessarily a travel ban for people coming back to the United States, but I guarantee that Heathrow right now is a complete mess. You know, I'm sure that it is just like it is in Paris and elsewhere, where it's just very, very hard to actually get on a flight, you know, get anywhere.
This whole trip was like the metaphorical getting 10 points from Todd Cantwell off of your bench yeah. In a game week.
Yeah.
It's basically what happened.
We did the full Cantwell. And so thank you. But yeah, so thanks for listening to the pod. That's our travelogue. Obviously it's hard to end this one because, you know, there's really nowhere to go. I mean, there's no, I can't imagine to talk about. We're going to keep rolling these things out, though. We'll be back next week. We're going to keep doing pods, and we'll keep going until. I mean, if the season just gets flat out canceled, then that may change things a little bit. But as long as you know, we think that there's still going to be things to talk about or matches that may come up, then we're going to keep podcasting. So if you have suggestions for topics that or discussion points for upcoming podcasts, or things you just are interested in hearing us talk about, let us know. I mean, I don't think we're ever going to just do full on like Star Trek movie reviews, book reviews. If that happens, we'll just stop doing the pod, I think. But as long as I feel like there is going to be stuff to talk about, I feel like there'll be new, there's going to be news.
Definitely.
For sure. So let's keep it going as long as we can. Thank you again to our new patrons. Yeah. And thank you as always to our producer patrons. Brendan, do you want to thank our producers?
Yeah, big thanks to our producers, Trevor Ingerson, Mike DiPietro, Chris Howell, Andy Penn, Chris Carter, Martin Savage, Brian T, DeBig Gaffer, Bob Ascoon, Jeff Husby, Ben Grant, James Holland, Jazz Binning, Dave Wegner, Lodahl, Nick Wright, Jim Payne, Brian Chin, Blair Jacobson, Frederick Kean Gradsky, Travis West, Alan Creasy, Victor Forberg Skoging, Paul Herzig Kai, Christine LeLang, Steen Niehaus, Barry McGuire, Peter Bodek, Till Andy Porlock, Toothless Given, Andy Martin, Lindsay Rostel, Anton Markov, FPLmerch.com, and James Conroy. In this great time of unrest, it's the perfect time to make sure you're subscribed to the Always Cheating podcast. And while you're at it, rate us, review us, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, Acast, wherever you get your podcasts. Give us a follow on social media, Twitter at Hail Cheaters, Instagram at Hail Cheaters, Facebook.com/Always Cheating. Give us an email if you have a lot to say that doesn't fit into, is it 280 characters on Twitter these days? Mm-hmm. Email hailcheaters@gmail.com. All this and more at alwayscheating.com. Is that it? Does that cover it?
Yeah, I think that does cover it. Just a special bonus shout out to FPLmerch.com because I am actually drinking out of a mug from FPL Merch. Mm. I don't drink an FPL mug. I'm drinking a gin and tonic out of that mug, Brandon. So, and it's done. I'm like, I finished it up as we finished the pod. So
this perfect timing there. This is the most shout out heavy podcast in history, but I have one more, our Patreon, member Ted Rossner, who hooked us up with Redemption Roasters Coffee Bucks. Coffee shop in London, Redemption Roasters, where, a nice little coffee shop, and they also do cool things like help ex-cons get on their feet and get gainful employment again. So thanks, Ted, for hooking us up there. Much appreciated.
All right. Well, thanks again for listening to the podcast, and we'll be back next week. Hail Cheaters.
Poku forever.